Chapter 2.
It was on the fourth morning that Matt's dad slammed him up against the window and demanded answers.
What's going on? You getting help? You got some little scheme going? You trying to mess with me?
Matt tried to push him away, but he was big and heavy and as solid as a bulldog. He looked a lot like a bulldog too, his jowls hanging and his eyelids sagging at the corners, his brown eyes small and shiny.
I told you! Matt shouted, trying to out-blare his old man. I got up early, that's all. I've done 3 cars already. You should be pleased. Why? Why are you getting up early? Said his father, giving him a little shake and a blast of stale whiskey. What are you up to?
Matt felt tiredness suddenly wash over him like a wave, tugging him down into its undertow, drowning him. I don't know why, he muttered, sagging in his father's grip. I just keep waking up and not being able to get back to sleep.
Something in his face must have rung true, because he found himself released and sliding slowly down the rough breeze-block wall. His dad wandered across to the concrete, stepping over the sloping runnels that were channeling the last of the soapy water down to the drain, and inspected the Honda, the Vauxhall and the Ford. All 3 had been left by a hire car firm yesterday for collection by mid-morning. Normally Matt would have been up at 6. He would have fully washed, waxed and valeted at least 1 before breakfast. Today, he'd done all 3, inside and out, by 6:30 a.m, when his father came down to check on him. Since he'd been up and working from 3 a.m, it was no big deal. 1 hour per car was pretty slow going, slacking really. His father wandered around the vehicles, checking the dashboards for dust, prodding the seats for too much damp, and running his fingers over the hubcaps for missed streaks of road grime. There were none. Matt knew how to valet a car. He'd been doing it since he was 10.
It's a good job, Dad said, finally.
Matt risked a shrug. Learn from the best. His dad ambled over again, put a heavy hand on his shoulder, and peered into his face.
Why aren't you sleeping? He asked. You need to sleep. Your work will suffer.
He was talking about schoolwork. It was a small thing, but it meant something to Matt that occasionally, just occasionally, his dad remembered he was still at school, that his whole world did not revolve around sponges, squeegees and turtle wax.
I don't know, he said. Something keeps waking me up. The last 3 nights, about 1:30, I can't get back to sleep again. This morning I thought I might as well just get up and get some work done and maybe I'll sleep better tonight.
He didn't say that he'd done the same with a different car the night before, just the one. But then he'd finished at about 5:30 a.m. and dozed a thin, dreamless, almost sleep on the back seat of the Merc, until Dad checked in at the usual time. The slam of the garage door had startled Matt from sleep, but glancing across, Dad assumed he was cleaning the interior. Matt had groggily made scrubbing actions to help that assumption. Then, as soon as Dad had gone, he'd sat back on the spotless leather seat and played a game on his phone until breakfast. This morning, though, he'd just worked. 3 cars, one after the other, because he was starting to get freaked out and needed to distract himself. 4 nights in a row, waking up at exactly the same time. What the hell was that all about?
Get some proper sleep tonight, said Dad, giving him a slightly gentler shoulder shake this time. And start at the usual time tomorrow. Breakfast now.
He turned and ambled back through the door to the apartment. By the time they were sitting down to eggs on toast and large mugs of tea, Dad seemed to have forgotten the whole thing. His rages were often like that, a sudden eruption followed by a distracted, forgetful calm, as if nothing was wrong at all. There was nothing to see today, but if there had been a little blood or a fresh bruise or even a black eye, Dad would not have seen it. Mum would hand Matt a little tube of Savlon or a plaster so she could see it, but she never said anything, not one word, except maybe, he's tired or he's stressed. If Matt ever responded, he's drunk or he's violent, Mum would be instantly deaf. She'd been the same with Ben when he used to bear the brunt of Dad's tiredness. Ben, 4 years older than his little brother Matthias, had long since escaped to the Navy. The violence was minor, nothing life-threatening, no big deal. At school, he had a reputation for getting into fights, so it was easy to pass the evidence off as a war wound from some scrap with another kid. Anyway, Dad could be okay. When things were going well for him, he was generous and cheery, affectionate even. And Matt didn't think Dad ever hit Mum. That would probably be too much. But she was never bruised or bleeding, although her stuff sometimes got smashed up. It was all normal. It was all just his life. Nothing much rattled him. Until now, 1:34 a.m. If he woke up...